Shalom, welcome to the Jewish Task Force, JTF. My name is Chaim Ben Pesach. This program is dedicated to a refuah shlema, complete recovery, for Sharon Katz, Malka Bat Allegra, Shifra Bat Sara, Shlomo Ben Sara, and Dorit Bat Sara. And the program is dedicated to Ilui Neshamot, to elevating of the souls, for Daniel Nankin, Allegra Bat Rachel, Lunita Adler, Helen Friedman, Harab Binyamin Kahana, Pesach Zev Ben Chava, Harab Meir Kahana, Yosef Ben Meir, Bari Hoffman, Dennis Shor, Ruven Hoffman, Robert Mitman, and Sipora Fegi Bat Liba. Well, this is the first program we're doing since my mother and I were hit by a car while we were crossing the street. And we're going to discuss the accident, what happened in the accident, and just in general what the implications are and what the lessons are from an incident like this. First of all, my mother and I were crossing the street and a car hit us. And I'm not going to go into details as to exactly what happened because there are legal reasons why I don't want to go into details, because we are, of course, going to file a lawsuit in this case. So I don't want to complicate that lawsuit, so I'm not going to discuss exactly what happened. But we were hit by a car while we were crossing the street, my mother and I. Baruch Hashem, thank God, Baruch Hashem, that I was hit by the car and not my mother. My mother was injured as well, but let me explain what happened. I was hit by the car. The car actually directly hit me. And then I went flying. The car sent me flying into my mother, and so my mother fell because of the impact of my bumping into her, flying into her while we were crossing the street. So both of us were injured. But her injuries were relatively minor compared to mine. Baruch Hashem, thank God. Because I don't know if my mother would have survived an accident like this. So first of all, we thank Hashem. There are a lot of things we're going to be very thankful for in terms of this accident. The first thing we do is thank Hashem that it was me and not my mother that was hit by the car. I always, instinctively, when I walk with my mother and cross the street, I always get between her and the traffic. I'm always between her and the traffic, or between her and any danger. That's just instinctive with me. And it paid off. After years and years of doing that, it finally paid off in this accident, because the car hit me and not her. It was a miracle, a ness, that both of us were not killed by this car. A car crashes into people. You know, it was actually a very large vehicle, a sports utility car. And a car like this, a big, powerful car, crashes into flesh and blood. In most cases, you would think that somebody would be killed in an incident like this. And many people are killed by incidents like this every year. But Baruch Hashem, miraculously, that did not happen. If we had been 6 inches to a foot in the other direction and the car had hit into us, we would have been killed. God forbid. So we have a lot to thank Hashem for, a lot to thank God for. Again, first, because I was hit, not my mother. And secondly, because neither one of us was killed. Now, my mother sustained injuries. She still has a hard time walking on her ankle. She sustained some injuries. But I sustained very serious injuries that required surgery. I had a fracture in my kidney. Not in my kidney, I'm sorry, in my hip. As a result of this accident, and I had to have surgery, and I'm going to discuss the surgery in a moment. But that's very serious, because when you have a fracture in your hip, you can't walk. So if I had not had the surgery, I would be crippled for the rest of my life. Crippled and paralyzed, at least on one side of my body. I'd be crippled and paralyzed for the rest of my life. There is no way you can walk when you have a fractured hip. Now, in terms of the surgery, we went to a UJA hospital, a so-called Jewish hospital. And I'm going to discuss the horror of being in a Jewish hospital. By the way, the so-called Jewish hospital, where there are very few Jews. There were almost no Jews in the hospital during the time we were there. We were there 5 days, and there were almost no Jews there. Almost every group under the sun, but very few Jews in the hospital. In addition to that, of course, we can only eat kosher food, and they do not serve kosher food in the so-called Jewish hospital, unless you go out of your way to specially ask them for it and get on the kosher food list that they have there, which we did. But many times they didn't deliver the meal, and it was a big deal to them to deliver kosher food. Just, these UJA hospitals are a disgrace. No one should ever make a contribution to the UJA Federation or any Jewish establishment organization. These organizations are self-hating Jews, and what they do is harmful to the Jewish people and harmful to the world, and nobody should ever give them a penny. Now, as I stated earlier, I needed surgery for my hip fracture, which is, again, a very serious procedure, a very serious surgical procedure. If it's not done right, it could be a catastrophe. And there were, they give you the surgeon who's on hand the next day to do the surgery, and I got surgery the next day after the accident. I could have gotten many terrible surgeons, because they have a lot of terrible surgeons at this hospital, as you have in many hospitals. There are many, many horrible surgeons. Because of affirmative action, and because of political correctness, and because of the dumbing down of American society, you have a lot of surgeons who are completely incompetent, who are utterly disastrous, and you can imagine what would have happened if I had had a black surgeon, and they have black surgeons in this hospital, and they had the Arab surgeon. They had an Arab surgeon. I could have gotten the Arab surgeon, God forbid. This is a surgeon from Egypt. And I learned how to be surgeon in Egypt. I was doctor in Egypt. And don't worry, I operated on many camels in my time. I operated on many a hump. And, just what a pathetic situation it is. I mean, just pathetic. And of course, if you're an Arab or you're black or you come from some low IQ group, and there are people with high IQs who are black or are in these other groups, but they're the exception, not the rule. And most of the doctors, and almost all the doctors that come out of these groups are less qualified, less competent, and less effective than the surgeons that come out of talented groups. But I didn't get the Arab surgeon from Egypt who has very good experience. I learned. I got my medical degree in Egypt from Universita in Egypt. Don't worry, very good. I know what I'm doing. Okay, I didn't get him. Thank God. And that's how he speaks, by the way. And I didn't get the Schwarze surgeons. I mean, you can imagine the Schwarze surgeon. It just so happens that the surgeon that was on duty that day, look at how good Hashem was to us. The surgeon that was on duty that day happened to be a brilliant Jewish surgeon who is probably, and he's in private practice and he does hospital surgeries. This brilliant Jewish surgeon is probably the best surgeon in the state for the surgery that I needed. Probably the best in the whole state. Just an absolute expert who does hundreds of these procedures and is considered to be a genius and considered to be an innovator in terms of coming up with techniques in the surgery and so on. So, another miracle. I don't get the Arab surgeon from Egypt. I don't get a black surgeon who gonna operate on me like he take apart Kentucky Fried Chicken. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that. What did I get? I got the most brilliant surgeon in the state, a Jewish surgeon with many years of experience, and who did a great job in the surgery. Thank God. Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. So, a lot to be grateful for. Now, the five-day hospital stay, of course, during the hospital stay, as we mentioned, there were very few Jews in the so-called Jewish hospital. and you know there are a lot of Muslims and blacks and Arabs and Pakistanis and Afghanis and Bengalis and every group under the sun. They're in the hospital in abundance. And very few Jews are in the hospital, even though this is a Jewish-funded hospital. And even though the UJA over the years has spent untold amounts of money. The UJA budget at one time was billions of dollars. And their annual budget, they used to spend several billion dollars a year at one point for hospitals, for all types of projects in the community, projects in the community that were always bad for Jews, never good for Jews. And their hospitals, they train affirmative action people, affirmative action staff, affirmative action doctors. In other words, they bring bad things to the world. The things they do in the world are bad. And we were there 5 days witnessing all of the incompetence and all of the problems there. My poor mother, what she had to go through. My mother's 87 years old. I'm 64 years old. So both of us are senior citizens. But there's a difference between 64 and 87. I'm in my mid-60s and my mother's in her late 80s. So there's a big difference. And my poor mother, she had problems. She had a problem with a big fat Schwarzer nurse. My mother was not allowed to go to the bathroom by herself because they were afraid she'd fall because she had a problem with her ankle walking. So they were afraid she'd fall. So they would not let her, if she left her bed, if she got off her bed in the room, right away alarms would go off. The same thing with me. They were afraid I would fall, and they're afraid of legal liability. They're afraid of being sued. So we were not allowed to leave our beds for 5 days. We had to lie in our beds. And when my mother, one of the times my mother had to use the restroom, and when she had to use the restroom, and she used it and so on, the nurse came and took her with a very bad attitude, but anyway, came and took her to the restroom, this big fat Schwarzer nurse. Then she had to use the restroom again a half hour later. What's she going to do? A half hour later, she felt like she had to use it again. It happens to people sometimes. And the Schwarzer nurse didn't want to take her. Said, "You already went. You already went. I don't have to take you more than one. What do you think I am? I got to be coming running back and forth all the time giving you good, you a bathroom service?" This is the type of, they're promoted and given positions of authority by sick, self-hating Jews. And they use the authority to persecute Jews who are under their care. This is what they do. But again, we have a lot to be thankful for. One of the problems is that we were lying on our backs for 5 whole days. We did start physical therapy, or at least I started physical therapy. They came finally like the 4th day to do some minor physical therapy with me to get me out of bed. And that was the only time I really got out of bed, that and of course when we have to use the restroom. So we were staying on our backs almost 24 hours a day, almost 24 hours a day. And staying on your back for a very long time, 24 hours a day, for day after day after day, that can cause bed sores, which can be dangerous. People die from bed sores. Be very dangerous. So we had our problems. We had our challenges when we were there. Thankfully, we didn't get any bed sores, but it was very uncomfortable. Very, very rough time. I mean, just 5 days of lying there in one position. Very, very rough situation for me and especially for my mother. But thank God, we survived that. Hashem pulled us through that, and we're home now. And here we are now trying to recuperate. The timeline for me recuperating from my mother, she just has to, her ankle has to get bit. Her ankle apparently was twisted and she's in some pain when she walks. In my case, though, with the kidney, I don't know why I keep saying kidney, with the hip fracture surgery. I keep saying kidney because there was a patient there that was getting kidney surgery. And so that's why I keep repeating kidney surgery, and I apologize for that, which is, of course, very serious surgery. But there was somebody there that was getting that surgery, and that's why I keep going back to that. But with hip replacement surgery, we're talking about 3 to 6 months for a total cure, total, in other words, having a total healing in 3 to 6 months. And until then, you know, you have a walker, and it's very, you know, until then you got at least 4 weeks with a walker, maybe more, sometimes 4 to 10 weeks with a walker. So it's a very inconvenient type of life that you have to lead when you go through one of these accidents. There's a lot more to be grateful for, and I really look at this as an example to look at all the wonderful things that Hashem gives us that we take for granted. Just being able to get up and walk, we take that for granted. That's a miracle that we can get up and walk. It's a miracle that we can eat. It's a miracle that we can breathe. It's a miracle that we can see. It's a miracle that we can hear. It's a miracle that we can taste food and enjoy the beautiful world that Hashem has given us. It's a miracle that we can think, that our minds are such complex organs in our body. The incredible complexity of the human mind. Because Hashem has given us a soul, and that soul is the physical place where the soul, I don't know if the soul really has a physical, the soul really isn't physical, but it works through the mind being the physical part of the body where we think. We take all of this for granted, and we really shouldn't. These are precious gifts that are given to us by a loving Creator. And I thank Hashem every minute, every second for having allowed me to survive, having allowed me to take the hit instead of my mother. I thank Hashem every moment for giving me a brilliant Jewish surgeon instead of some Arab camel or some Schwarze orangutan. I thank Hashem every moment. The miracles are just overwhelming. There also was, by the way, a Pakistani doctor there. I don't know if I'm on duty for tomorrow. I don't know what to do. Maybe I will be. I'll check my schedule. Oh, I said to myself, oh, please, Hashem, don't give me this guy as my surgeon. Please, please. These are third world people, and they get their doctor's licenses in third world countries. They get third world educations, and they're allowed. And you sometimes you don't have a choice. They operate you, especially if it's an emergency surgery that's needed. Sometimes they're the one on duty. It's such a catastrophe. It's so dangerous and so frightening if you're in a situation like that. You don't want to be in a situation like that. But this is what these evil people have imposed on us in this society. We once had a situation with the doctor, at least you knew that you had a good chance of getting a relatively competent doctor. That is far from certain today when you're in a bad situation, especially if you need emergency surgery. By the way, how does this affect our movement? Our ad campaign in Israel, of course, continues. We're continuing to work to influence the March 23rd Knesset elections. We will do what we can to influence those elections as best we can. And our ad campaign continues. We continue to publicize 5 Hebrew videos to reach the people of Israel with our message. So that goes on. That's something that continues and was not stopped by this accident. I just want to say one other thing that's a little bit off topic from what we've been discussing on the program this week, and that's the latest situation with Ted Cruz versus Andrew Cuomo. They say both of them have scandals. The so-called Ted Cruz scandal is that his daughters were freezing in the house in Texas, because in Houston and in much of Texas, about 4 million people lost all electricity, all heat, and they had very, very brutally cold temperatures. And his daughters were freezing, so he decided to take them for a short break away from the house to Cancun, to Mexico. And that's the big scandal, that he went to Mexico. He went to Mexico when other people are freezing. So what? So if you can afford to get away with your family and get your daughters out of there, that's such a big scandal. It's completely ridiculous, obscene. They're looking for things to go after this brilliant and very decent and courageous political leader, Ted Cruz, who, God willing, will someday be president of the United States. I doubt it, because America is such an evil country, has become such an evil country with a majority left populace. But we should only be so lucky that Ted Cruz should become president of the United States. And the media gave huge attention immediately to this story, right away went after him and said he should resign, and this is a scandal, and this is disgraceful, and this is the end of his career. The whole media ganged up on him. Meanwhile, the media hero, Andrew Cuomo, who for a whole year has been praised for his handling of the coronavirus in the state of New York, even though New York has death numbers way out of proportion to the rest of the country, far higher than the rest of the country. New York has people who were infected and injured and sick and have continuing misery from this and continuing problems from this because of the fact that they had been infected. Even if they were released from the hospital, they have continued ongoing problems from the coronavirus, way out of proportion to the other states in the union. In fact, per capita, per person, if you do it on a percentage basis, New York has the worst performance in the coronavirus of all 50 states. The worst. California is not far behind, but New York is still the worst. And Andrew Cuomo was being praised this whole time. But in addition to the terrible statistics, which I think should make it clear that he's not done a good job, he's done a terrible job. In addition to the terrible statistics, Andrew Cuomo murdered 12,000 helpless elderly people. He ordered that these 12,000 helpless elderly people, infected with the coronavirus or vulnerable to coronavirus, one or the other, be put into nursing homes. Be pushed into nursing homes, where they had no ability to guard against the virus, no ability to treat the virus. He threw them into nursing homes, murdered all these thousands of people. And he could have avoided all of this. They had lots of bed space. The administration in Washington brought lots of bed space for people that was left vacant, including a giant carrier, an aircraft carrier, was brought into New York Harbor. Thousands of beds left vacant. Andrew Cuomo could have saved the lives of thousands of elderly people. Instead, he murdered them. He is a mass murderer, this filthy pig. May his name and memory be obliterated. May the name of the wicked rot. This filthy mass murderer was praised and given awards for his wonderful leadership and his wonderful role and how he spoke up at the press conferences and everything else. Praised by the whole media. Lauded by the media. His brother has a show on CNN, his brother, another animal, has a show on CNN where he condemns and attacks everybody under the sun except for his own brother, who deserves to be condemned more than anybody in this crisis. This is how the media operates. They are evil. They are liars. They protect they protect the most wicked mass murderers like Andrew Cuomo. And attack the most decent, courageous, righteous politicians like Ted Cruz. If we had listened to Ted Cruz, if we had had leadership like Ted Cruz, we would have been in a very different situation as far as the coronavirus, because he's a real leader. Instead, we're stuck with people like Andrew Cuomo because the media defends these evil people. The media has the blood of many, many people, millions of people, the blood of millions is on the hands of the media. Certainly 6 million Jews during the Holocaust were murdered by the media. They deliberately kept silent and squashed any story about the Holocaust. They did everything they could to enable the Germans, the German Nazis, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, to murder over 6 million innocent Jewish men, women, and children. The American news media did that, including the self-hating Jewish reporters in the American news media. They were the worst of them all. The New York Nazi Times, owned by a self-hating Jewish family. So that's the world we live in. A world where the powerful people in the world, the people that are in charge, are evil. The people that are in charge of big tech, the people that are in charge of the media, the people that are in charge of the establishment, the politicians, the billionaires, the tycoons, evil people. They're in control in this world right now. That won't last forever. Someday, and I don't know when, I don't know, I'm 64 years old, so I don't know if I'll live to see it, but someday that's going to change. Something is going to happen, and the Jewish people are going to wake up. There's going to be a great awakening among the Jewish people. And they're going to and that many Jews will turn around and become righteous and start fighting for righteousness, and the Mashiach will come, Messiah will come, and the world will change. And the world will become a place where the righteous will survive all of this, and we'll get through all of this, and the righteous will prevail in the next world. The wicked, of course, won't have any place in the next world. The next world, by the way, in Judaism, is this world. We believe in Techiyat HaMetim, in the resurrection of the dead, in this world. Yes, the next world is going to be this world, except it's going to be a world without death, without suffering, without hunger, without disease, without sickness, without wars, where you wake up in the morning and go out of your door, and everywhere you go, people just want to help you, and you only want to help them. That's the new world. Can you imagine a world like that? Where everywhere you go, people only want to help you, people only want to give to you, and you only want to give to them, and that's the whole world becomes like that. That's the next world. And that will be a world for eternity. And the ruler of that world, there'll be a ruler of flesh and blood, the Mashiach, Melech HaMashiach, the Messiah. And it'll be Mashiach ben David, Messiah, son of David, because he will come from the lineage of King David. And that'll be the flesh and blood king of the world. But there'll be, of course, an infinitely more powerful king. Hashem himself, God himself, will be the real king and will openly rule over the world. And what a beautiful world that will be. A world beyond our imagination in terms of how wonderful it will be. How magnificent it will be beyond our imagination. So, what I learned from all of this is that, again, it's just another example in life of what you go through in life in order to appreciate the things that we're supposed to appreciate and in order to understand what our role is in this world to make this a better world. That's what we're trying to do. We're trying to influence the Israeli election. We're going to try to influence the Israeli election as best we can, if we can. And, I have my doubts as to whether or not we can really have any real impact. But we're going to try our best. We're going to try to do our best to make a difference in Israel, because that's really where the action is. That's really where the destiny of the world will be determined. And the destiny of humanity for eternity will be decided by what happens in that little country, in that little homeland of Israel. So we're going to try to influence things, and we're going to work to do that. We're going to do everything we can, and we hope that you'll be there with us working on that very important campaign. Because, you know, if we could pull one or two seats away from Bibi Netanyahu and the Likud, that could bring him down, which would be the lesser of the evils. In this case, are the people running against Bibi Netanyahu. We call him Pipi. He is the worst. He is the worst. He's got to go. And so if we could just take pry one or two seats away from him, the election looks very close, it could make a difference. And you know that our videos are getting... I've gotten millions of views already. Millions. and are getting hundreds of thousands of views now. In other words, on a monthly basis, I haven't figured out exactly every month how much, but it's at least tens of thousands every month. And you know, we've gotten overall on our Hebrew videos over the year, we've gotten overall millions of views. So I'm hoping, and people see our videos in the form of like a campaign commercial. I'm hoping it's going to have an effect. I'm hoping it'll convince people that the phony right in Israel is traditionally worse even than the open left. And if we convince people of that, we'll be performing a real service for Israel and the Jewish people and changing history. So that's where we stand. I have so much to be grateful for. I love Hashem with all my heart and all my soul. And I love the Jewish people and the righteous Gentiles with all my heart and all my soul. And I look forward to our continuing fight for righteousness and justice and redemption. For JTF, until next week, this is Chaim Ben Pesach. Shalom.